Last week, we spoke about shechita, and we talked about brushes. And today, so we didn't do brushing teeth. We're going to finish up with brushing teeth. We're going to talk about another type of shechita today. So last week, what did we talk about? We talked about washing dishes and cloths and what else? What else did we talk about, Steve? Sponges and all kinds of stuff like that. Right. Baby wipes. We talked about baby wipes. Herschel, did you look it up? Did you find me what you were going to find me? You said you were going to find me something.
Yeah, I told you it was kind of ambiguous.
About the brushes.
Yeah, I would have brought it.
Okay, so we're going to talk about that today. We're going to talk about it today. I'm going to show you what the difference is and how you can tell what's appropriate and what's not appropriate. Okay, but first we're going to talk about snow. Why snow? Because it's brought down in the halacha. Okay, and we're going to see what is halacha about snow. Now, this is obviously not really so relevant for us that have running water. But you can imagine if you didn't have running water during the winter, what was your source of water? It was snow. Right, so could one... So we were talking about dush, about squeezing, really. And remember, just in Nidu Araisa, from the Torah prohibition, dush was removing that which is inside and bringing something out of an inside kernel, like taking your grain outside of the husk. Etc. So I just want to tell you, interesting, I don't want to name names. I was at a place where somebody was feeding their child, they had served grapefruit. I'm using a whole good grapefruit for this, it's worthwhile. So somebody was serving, you can imagine, I'm not going to waste a whole half of grapefruit, but somebody was serving their child grapefruit. What?
Will
you save it for grapefruit? No, I won't. So you can imagine it was half of grapefruit, and there's no problem with scooping it out, right? So they were feeding their child with a spoon, right? With a spoon, right? They're eating the grapefruit. And at a certain point, you can't squeeze any more grapefruit. And this is a person who's a Shomer Shabbos person and just really wouldn't know the difference. So at the end, they wanted to feed the child at the very end. So what they did was they were just trying to feed them the juice. Right? And they would squeeze out a little bit and feed the kid and then squeeze out a little more and feed the child. So who does that? Any good parent wants to do that. You give their kid. If the kid is finally eating something, you'll give the child that. And, like I'm sitting there and obviously I can't tell them, you're not allowed to do that. What?
They didn't ask you.
Right, they didn't ask me. It's not,
I think it's
tell
not to drink it.
What? Okay. Good. No, why would I need an napkin? But anyway, so, yes, please. I'm kidding. You have? Thank you. Miriam, you have one. Okay, thank you. But you can see, it was just such an interesting example. Like, I hadn't even thought of that. And, this person was doing it, made sense. Your kid finished that, and you want to give them the juice, is really the best part. It's very healthy. And you're just naturally doing that, squeezing it out, and then feeding it to the child, which you are not permitted to do. That isn't, it's the Darabanan of Shechita, right? From squeezing out for the juice. Now, if you wanted to take the juice and squeeze it, very interesting question. So, what if I wanted to take it? They have now, if you go to fancy bar mitzvahs, or, Rabbi Chaidi's thing on Saturday night, they have these snow cones. So now, what if I wanted to take the juice, my grapefruit, and squeeze it onto my snow cone instead of that sugar flavor? I wanted a grapefruit flavored snow cone. Could I do that?
Yes.
Yeah, theoretically, you could do that. Correct. Exactly. Very
interesting. Some of
the snow is considered food and not drink. That's a good question, because snow usually is considered like a drink. Halachically, snow is considered like a matzke. Right. It's gonna end up being water, but what is it now? So let's see what the halacha says. Look at the Gemara. This is from Shabbos Daf Nun Aleph Amud Bet. Source number one. We have a lot of short sources, but it's very good to see. Page one, session three, page one, the top. The we're going to see that actually there's a machlokes, an argument in our Gemara, and we're going to see that it has practical ramifications. The Gemara says, this is the middle of the Gemara. The problem with the Gemara in Shabbos is there are a lot of times where there's not a sugya, an extended discussion about an issue. Rather, the Rabbanan would just say that, throw something out there, and you have to, organize it. And so the Shulchan Aruch tries, and we organize it even more for our purposes. Says the Gemara, Ve'ein Mirazkin. Mirazkin is the same as Miraskin. Mem Reish Samach Kuf Yud Nun. What does Mirashek mean? I need a linguist here. Anybody a linguist? A Hebraist? Anyone? Anyone? Dr. Shah? The Rashek? You don't remember.
Reshek is to do something.
What?
Reshek is banyol. It's to do something.
It's to crush.
Crush.
Right, to crush for what purpose?
To get juice out.
To pulverize. Right. Right, very good.
Yeah, with tomato you get pulverized. Yeah, you get essence or concentrate.
Right, okay. So the Rashek means to crush or crumble in such a way. Specifically, we're talking about loet hasheleg, not snow, v'loet habarad, and not ice, b'shvil shiyazuvu. Because they will, so that they will, yazuvu means that they will melt, and lazuv means to flow. Okay, so what are you not allowed to do? I'm going to demonstrate since it's not Shabbos. Okay, I need a drink, so I'm going to squeeze it out until I get water. See, I'm getting water. The more I do it, the more water I get. Wow, that's cold. Okay. What?
And you can't
what?
Snowball, do you?
Why not?
You can't, because you're making
snowball. No, I'm trying to melt it. Snowball, I'm just packing it in so I can squash you. So why can't I make a snowball?
Because you're making something. You're forming something. And then it was crushed, and now you're...
And now what is it? It was uncompressed snow, and now what is it?
Still snow.
What?
I love the
bubble mice
that they used to give us.
They're right. Why can't you take snow? Why can't you take snow? Yeah. Some postgame, right? You can't take snow. Why?
Because
muksa.
Oh, because
you're squeezing. No. Why is it muksa?
Because you might melt it.
No. That's right. It's not. There's no. You never. Muksa means something you haven't set aside. Muktzah means not set aside for Shabbos, meaning anything you specifically don't have knowledge for, das on, is muktzah, because only something you would have knowledge for to use on Shabbos would be permitted. For example, remember, I don't know if we talked about this, we haven't talked about muktzah here, you know, like rocks. Rocks are muktzah. You can't just pick up a rock and throw it at a car passing by in the whole Bar Ilan on Shabbos. You have to first set aside your rock, designate the rock you're going to throw at the car, and then you'd be permitted to throw it at the car on Shabbos. Now, I'm not questioning whether you can throw it at the car, but I'm just saying throw the rock in general. Yes, if you made snowballs, or let's say, for example, you have one of those wading pools in your head, and you, like, you know, you left it out, you know, one of those baby pools. So you could say, I designate, I have in mind. You could say, I'm going to have in mind to use that snow on Shabbos to pulverize my friend, and you could then throw snowballs, and he couldn't. You could say, hi, it's muksa for you, and it's not for me, and then you'd win. Okay. No, but you've got your snow. He in his yard doesn't have any.
But he could come over and use your snow.
Well, that's true. He could steal your snow. What? Yes. Right.
You couldn't pick it up then, so squeeze it.
Yeah.
If it's
monks. No, I was saying if you have designated your own snow.
Well, that's
been
error. No,
but,
I mean,
the halacha
that you were talking about.
No, it says, and when you have your gloves on, it's not going to, you're not squeezing out. You're not, you know, what's the point? Well, we'll see what the point is. Yeah, Mary, you have a question. What? Right. Look at Rashi. Rashi's on the left-hand side. The aim let's finish the Gemara. Bishvilsi yazuvu neymat, so that the mayim, the water, will come out. Aval notin hu letocha kosh or letocha ka'ara ve'eino choshesh. What can I do? I can put it in a kosh or a ka'ara and let it melt on its own. And I don't have to worry. Okay? So what it says is I can't squeeze it out, but I can let it melt. And then I can have my water. Okay, this is the Gemara. It is an authoritative source, unimpeachable source. That's what the halacha says. Well, so again, it's not...
The snow is not mutsa then.
What?
The snow is not
probably not. Some posting they must say that it's not. It's a miscontent in this case. Right. But for those purposes, I guess it would be muksa. I don't know. And I saw that by Ruby at Rice. Some posting say the snow is muksa. I don't know how you would deal with this. Maybe it's only, you know, snow you've designated as such. Okay. Let's look at it. Good point. Very good point. Says the Rashi. Look at Rashi on the left-hand side. The mirazkin. Kimo miraskin. It's like the word mirasek. Mirasek means... to pulverize, to make into a sauce. Mishabrin lechatichot dakot. Okay? Means, what does that mean? It means crushing into small pieces. And what is barad? Galcha, galcha, belaz, galcha. What is galcha? From glass, probably. Glass is a type of ice. Right? What do you call ice cream in French? What? Glacé, right. So all these Semitic languages are all pretty much the same. Belaz means old French. So that's probably what it was. Barad here was ice. Rashi had to tell you what it was. Yes. Why? Kedesh yazuvu meimav. And listen to what Rashi says. The question is, why am I forbidden to do this? Why am I forbidden to get water out of my snow? You know, if I do it long enough, some of it will come out. Obviously, it works better when you don't have such dry snow. The snow we have now is very, very dry. What? Very cold. Right. But if it's melting a little bit, and it's, you know, it's good packing snowball snow, then the water will come right. It's like a sponge. It had the water's inside of it. Why? So says Rashi, Mishum dekam molid b'Shabbos. See that term, molid?
Okay.
Producing something. Right. We didn't talk about this yet. We're not going to talk about it for a while. But there's an issue of something called nolad. Nolad is something that was produced on Shabbos, and it's muktzah. It's a derivation of muktzah. Nolad is muktzah. So, for example, the very famous case is, let's say you have a chicken that lays an egg on Shabbos, right? Normally eggs are kosher. This egg you cannot use on Shabbos because it's mukta. That's the normal case of nolad. Nolad meaning? Born, right, born, right. That's where it comes from.
But you can use it.
After Shabbos, yeah, perfectly good, just not on Shabbos, okay? And there's a lot of ramifications of nolad, a lot of different examples of nolad on Shabbos, okay? What? Make sure there's no blood spot, right. Nolad means something that emerged, changed from one form to another, and that's mukta on Shabbos. So Rashi says, we soon become molid b'Shabbos. Okay? The dame l'malacha, and it's like a malacha, shebore hamayim ha'elu. You are godlike in that. You are bore hamayim. You're creating that water. That's what Rashi says. Aval nozin betoch ha'kos, but you could put it in the kos, shel yayin v'yemos ha'chama kedei l'chananan. What does Rashi say? You can't put it in the pot. No. What can I do? If I have a pot of water and I want to cool it off, well, I'm not going to have cold water, right? I could take my snow and put it in my cold water. You're right, I can squish it down, make an ice cube out of it, right? Right? And then now I'm going to have cold water.
You said you can put it in the glass of wine.
Right. The sunanun, to cool it off, valpi shenimuach me'elav, even though it melts on its own. Ve'enachos, you don't have to worry. So Rashi says, what's the problem? The problem is a problem of molid. You're taking something and making it something else. So therefore, if I left this pot in, if I left the water in the pot, the thing I'm going to make, am I going to be making water? Mm-hmm. If I just leave it like that? Yeah, you would be.
Yeah.
And you couldn't use
it. Nature is nice. I mean, it's melting. It's a physical.
It has to be in something else in order to be used in all the
Shabbos. Well, we'll see. We're going to see the halacha b'maaseh. But okay, you're right. But we're going to see the halacha b'maaseh. According to Rashi, correct. Let's look at Tosfot for a second. I'm sorry. Yes. Says Tosfot, Ein Meraskin, says it's just interesting. Ein Meraskin, lo ata shelag, lo ata barad, to Tosfot, mikan yeshu zahir, should be careful, so lo yirchot yadav b'shelag u'barad b'Shabbos. Don't wash your hands, right, in snow or hail on Shabbos. Why? U'parmim shemit karshim. Sometimes they melt, v'yesh barad m'urad b'enehem, therefore ein lechot b'hem, you shouldn't wash your hands. So anyway, I wouldn't wash my hands in snow anyway because it's really, really, really cold. Okay, so now according to Rashi, so then what is the reason for this halacha? It's very clearly the reason is because of this issue of molid. Okay, this idea that you're creating something. Says the Rambam, look at the Rambam puts this halacha. We learned this halacha a little before. Says the Rambam, kvashim uslakot sheshchatam. You might recognize this. Kvashim are, remember what kvashim are? Anybody?
Pickles.
Right, pickles. What are slakot? Cooked vegetables. Either, right, soaked or cooked vegetables. Sheshach them, that you squeeze them. Remember, are you allowed to squeeze your pickle?
Yes.
For the?
A condom.
For the food, not for the juice. Right. Im l'racheh gufa mitzvah for to soften them. Mutar. I mean, source number two. V'im l'hochi mehem asur. Okay, and what's the next thing the Rambam says? The ein miraskin et hasheleg shiazumu meimav, and you're also not allowed to crush the snow so that the water comes out. Aba mirasheku l'tocha t'ara o l'tocha kos, but you're allowed to squeeze it in the plate or into the l'tocha kos. So what does Rambam say? Rambam says nothing to do with molid. See, the very interesting thing about the Rambam, you have Rashi, right? Rashi lived where and when? We'll give you a little halakha lesson. What? 12th century France. What? 11th century France. Thank you. Right? So the Rashi was really one of the very first commentators on the Gemara, one of the first to be shown him as he's known as. Anybody who lived anywhere near Rashi, anytime after that, anytime you learned a piece of Gemara, before you did that, you learned Gemara with Rashi. So Rashi immediately taints your perspective, not taints, God forbid, but
angles it.
Right, he angles you in a certain direction. So anybody learning this Gemara who lived in France or Germany or Spain, Christian Spain as it were, later on as the influence of Rashi was spreading throughout history, learned according to Rashi that this problem is a problem of molid, of nolad. Okay, and from there Rashi produced most of the Ashkenazic custom. Rambam did not learn the Gemara with Rashi. Okay, so I imagine Rashi wasn't there, and you saw this halacha. So you said, well, why would the rabbi say that I couldn't squeeze snow?
Where would he come across snow in Egypt?
I don't know. He started in, where did he start from? He started in Spain.
Southern Spain.
Right, southern Spain. He went to Israel for a bit before he moved down. Maybe he hit the Hermon. I don't know. Right? Maybe they scraped ice. They knew what snow was. He would never know what snow was? I don't know.
But the thing is that the snow, it's not a matter of crushing it. When it becomes water, you're melting it.
Oh.
You're not causing it to come out.
So now let me ask you, see this? Okay, now we have something with liquid inside. Okay, you have snow or hail or slush,
like
slushy stuff. So now there's water inside of it. So what is it more like? Here's a very good question. Is it water or there's water in it?
It is water.
See that? I just melted it. Remember the first time I did it, how much water did I get out?
Mm-hmm.
Nothing. So now, is it water or there's water inside of it?
Water.
I disagree. I agree with you that snow is water, but most snow or slush, right, in solid state, but most water, snow or whatever, is really some snow and some water inside of it. So now I ask you, it's interesting, by the way, so, you know, you have it in Machlokutin Rashi that says it's Molid or the Rambam. So maybe it could be their experience with snow. I have no idea. I don't know what the basis of their argument would be. But look at the Rambam looked at that halacha. He looked at the Gemara and said, why would the rabbis tell me I couldn't crush snow? So he says, let me see what happens when I crush snow. What does that remind me of?
Squeezing
a pickle. Squeezing a grapefruit. Very good. And for some reason, Rashi said, it doesn't remind me of that. Very good. That's dust. So that, exactly. See where the Rambam lists it? In the very same halacha where he talked about the halacha of kvashim and shlako, of vegetables and pickles, of squeezing those. So the Rambam says also, oh, by the way, there's another halacha the Gemara tells you later on somewhere else about squeezing snow, and that's the same halacha. Okay? So you'll see that there's a machloket between Rashi and Rambam as to the nature of a halacha. Now, who's right? They're both right, obviously. But now people wonder, how could it be that there'd be different interpretations if halacha is transmitted and there's only one halacha? How could it be? So now you see where there's a text, an authoritative text, and you can see one opinion looking at it one way, one opinion looking at it a totally different way, and both are legitimate views of what's going on. Both of them look at the same snow, you know, looking at squeezing the exact same piece of snow, one could say it's molid, and one could say it's dust, it's squishing. It's squeezing.
The Rambam seems to imply that you can squeeze it into the cup.
Good.
Whereas the Gemara says you just put it in. So you put it in and you let it melt. And so
correct.
Let's look at how
Rabbi Yosef Karo read this. Now it's very interesting. Halakhically, who's usually more authoritative, the Rambam or Rashi? The Rambam is usually more authoritative. How do you get a halacha? So here's how you get halacha. It turns out that there turns out to be two different traditions. As we know, there's the Ashkenazi tradition and the Sephardic tradition. So in the Ashkenazi tradition, there was a man named Rabbi Moshe Isserles, the Rama. Right? You ever hear those commercials for the guy that invented television? Or some, you know, like those commercials from the bank? Some guy invented
the
right? And at the same time, some other guy invented the same thing. His name was Hertz.
Right.
And the other guy's name was like,
Schmagegi, right.
Now, there's never anything called the Schmagegi. There's only the Hertz. Right. So Rabbi Moshe Isserles was writing a book, a codified book of halacha. Right? It just so happens that a man named Rabbi Yosef Karo was writing the exact same book at the same time. Now, who published first? Rabbi Karo published first. Okay? He was a Sephardic tradition. He got to write the Shulchan Aruch. So what Rabbi Isserles is sitting there, a poor guy. He's like writing crazy, you know, like editing. I'm ready to go to print. Oh, did you see the new shader in the Sfarim store? It's unbelievable. It's called Shulchan Aruch, and it's exactly what we all need. You see him going like this manuscript to my cross and page after page, you know. So what did he have left to do? Rabbi Karo was based on Sephardic tradition, right? On Minhag Sfar. So all he could do later was he just had to write footnotes, glosses on the side, and say, listen, we don't agree with this. Ashkenazi tradition, halakhic tradition, differs, follows a different path, a different custom. Okay? So it's just interesting to know that all the Ramah had to do, all he did was add in, the Ramah would add in specific times. He'll say, Hagah, you'll see in the Shulchan Aruch, Hagah means note, footnote, and note. Ashkenazi tradition is such and such. So usually, if you find something in the Rambam, usually you'll see it also in the Shulchan Aruch. Rabbi Yosef Karo very often follows the Rambam. Actually, he tells you what he follows. He follows the best two out of the three from the Rambam, the Rush, and who's the third one? Rambam, the Rush, and do you remember the Rambam, the Rush, Herschel? No, I'm just blanking. The Rambam, the Rush, I don't remember.
The Riff,
thank you very much. Okay, thank you. The Riff, the Rambam, and the Rush. The Rambam lived in Spain then, Egypt. the Rif, Rabbi Huda Al-Fassi. Yeah, where did he live? He lived in Fez. Okay? The Rush first lived in Germany and then moved to Spain. So now, whose tradition is Rabbi Yosef Karo going to follow then?
Rambam.
A Sephardic tradition. Always a Sephardic tradition. It's almost always. And the Rambam follows Ashkenazic tradition, the tradition of the Rashi and the Tosafists and that which was passed down in Ashkenaz, meaning in Germany and France, Franco-Germany. Okay? Fine. So, if you look in the Shulchan Aruch, who do you think he's going to follow? Going to follow the Rambam. Look at source number 3. Hilchot Shabbat Shimon Shinkov. So we read a lot of Shimon Shinkov already, so I skipped this part before. Hashemek v'habarad, right? By the way, Shinkov, we read already specifically, and it was talking about what topic we'll be learning in Shinkov. All these halachas of Dush. So already you know, if it's in this Shimon, if it's in this chapter, you already know that he thinks it's a problem of squeezing. Hashemek v'habarad, ein raskinoto. Don't squeeze. Sheleg snow, excuse me, and barad and hail. The hainu the shabram lechatichot dakot, to smash them into small pieces. Why? Kidei sheyazuvu meimav, so that their liquid will flow down. Aval, but noten hu letoch kos shalayin omayim vehuni moach meelav veeno choshesh. Says, but you can put it in wine or water and let it melt on its own and not worry. Where is that a quote from, interestingly enough? You recognize that quote? To put it into wine or water? Who said that?
Rashi.
Very good. He also quotes Rashi. Okay?
Wait,
let's see. Well, he has one more thing. V'chein, furthermore, in hinicham b'chama, if you put it in the sun, o keneged hamadura, v'nifshuru, mutarim. But I can also take it and put it in the sun and allow it to melt on its own. According to Rashi, could I do that?
No,
Rashi would never allow me to do that. Near a fire, not cooking, but at least in a warm place, not that it would cook, but I'm allowed to let it melt and get my water. So the Rambam, so he paskins clearly like the Rambam. Interesting that he uses the language of Rashi, but ends up paskining clearly like the Rambam. Okay, so according to the Rambam, what is prohibited, according to Rabbi Yosef Karo, you're not allowed to actively squeeze it. Why can't I actively squeeze it? Because it's dust, because it's squeezing. So I can't squeeze out snow. But am I allowed to leave it and let it melt? Yes, I am. Okay? That's what Rashi says.
What does he go on to say?
About this topic?
No, I mean, he says you can't do it with snow and hailstones. Next, he says...
Yud. May I read on, you mean?
Utam l'shaber
ha'kera kidei litol mayim mitachtav. Let's say I want to go ice fishing. So I can't go ice fishing. I need to get water. So can I crack the ice in order to get the water underneath? Yeah.
Uh-huh.
Why? Why can I crack the ice in order to get the water underneath? I'm not squeezing. I'm not doing anything. I'm just cracking the ice. No problem at all. In fact, according to the Rambam, I have a big piece of ice. I want ice. It looks like I got a huge block of ice. Can I smash it to then go put it in my drink?
Yeah.
Absolutely. According to everybody, you can do that. Because I'm not crushing it to melt it. I'm just crushing it so I can put it in my drink. Next. And we're going to see all these other ones. I'm getting all wet. Okay. Good, Alice. Oh, I want us to point out this. See where it says mutarim? See the lamed hay? Mutarim? So the Rambam, so this Rabbi Yosef Karo says, I can take this and allow it to melt. I'm going to have to take the snow and allow it to melt. Mutarim. Says the Mishnah Berura, mutarim lehanot mehem. I can benefit from them. I'm on lamed hay in the very bottom. V'hu hadin, he says, du mutar lechatchila, I can, lechatchila means a priori, mutar permitted, to put it out, l'haniach, kem en shememem lahuni moach, since it melts by itself, u'kemo l'toch hakos, just like I'm putting it in a glass of water. U'ledat Rama, who's the Rama? Rama is Rav Moshe Isserles. But according to the opinion of Rav Moshe Isserles, in Shimon Shin Yud Chet Sh'if Tet Zayin Behaga, I looked it up, I'll tell you what it's talking about. Over there, so according to what the Rama says over there, gam hacha yesh lahachmir. Here you also should be more stringent. The avdili moach me'elav asur mishum nolad. See the term nolad? See that term? Remember we saw that term nolad? Where did we see that term? In Rashi. See how it makes its way all the way down into the Ramah. In Shin Yurche, we actually learned this halacha. It says, let's say I'm cooking, for example, my wife cooks chicken. And then she puts it in the refrigerator. Okay, and there was juice at the bottom of the chicken. What happens to that juice?
Yeah.
Right, it becomes gel. Can I then take that gelled stuff and put it on the in a permissible way, like on my double boiler on Shabbos, so that it will then warm up on Shabbos morning. Can I do that? Am I allowed to do that? So the Ramah says I should not do that. Let's say he says, his example is I have a piece of kugel, a very fatty piece of kugel, and I know that if I warm up the kugel, it's going to, all the schmutz on the end is going to liquefy, and I'm going to have a whole pool of stuff at the bottom. So I'm not putting liquids in, I'm putting a solid. I'm cooking a solid, but can I do that? So the Ramah says you shouldn't. Why? Because of no love. Because you're taking something and creating another form. Okay, that's why when you warm, ladies or gentlemen, when you warm up your chicken on Shabbos, you should specifically take, you have to take the chicken out of the juicy stuff and put it in a separate pan. It should be not stuff on the outside. That's an Ashkenazic custom. Okay, if there's little, if there's liquid inside the chicken that's going to come out, that's fine. But it shouldn't, you shouldn't have all that gook on it. This happens very often, you have a roast, right? So you want to warm up your roast Shabbos morning. The big problem is when you warm it up, if you warm it up in the stuff, it's going to, you're full of liquid. You're not allowed to do that. Where the Ashkenazic custom is not to do that, because that is no less. So that's important to know. Why are you looking at me funny?
I'm not. I'm just thinking that I don't serve things like that, because those things, when you don't heat them up with liquid, get very dried out
correct.
Quickly.
Correct. Right.
That's why I avoid, you know, doing that. That's why I end up frying all my chicken, so it's
basically... Ah, fried chicken. Well said. Okay, excellent. You have to have fried chicken every Shabbos. Okay.
Separate the sauce.
Yeah.
And put it in the pot and put it on the block before Shabbos.
Correct.
Yeah.
All right?
Yeah, but you still have to warm it up.
No, it's warming by itself.
Fine, but how would you warm up your chicken also?
Then you put it on top of the inverted...
Fine, but you're saying it's going to dry out while you're warming it. That's a big trick.
Not my chicken.
Not your chicken. Interestingly enough, one of the things that you can do that people do when they remodel their kitchens, they buy something called a warming drawer. You might have heard of this thing. Right? So it's all the thing. It's like one of these things that people, you know, drool over when they think about redoing their kitchen. Why? What do you think about a warming drawer? A warming drawer is something that maintains a certain humidity level to warm up food, that it won't dry out the food as you warm it up. And that's specifically very, very useful for Shabbos. It's a good thing to be aware of. Warming drawers can be permitted. If you buy the right kind, they are permitted on Shabbos. You can put things in the
room. You have a fly chick and a grill chick.
Only fly chick. You wouldn't put them in the room. It would turn fly chick,
yeah. In the old days when they didn't worry about cholesterol and they scraped the schmaltz off the top and put it on bread, you couldn't do that either then.
What do you mean, to heat up the schmaltz?
No, you take it off and spread it. You're melting it when you spread it.
Oh, I don't know. We'll have to talk about it. You're melting it, you're smearing it. You're smearing it.
But if you're melting it.
You're spreading it.
Of the knife is
nah, I don't know.
It will melt. I
understand.
Yeah, I know.
Nolad is taking one thing and making another form out of it. So one of the examples that we follow, for example, is making Jello. What happens if you make Jello? You're making something that's a liquid, and you're turning it into a solid. Okay, that's Nolad. Another example that comes up that I don't want to talk about is ice. It's a big machloket posting whether you can make ice on Shabbos. Because you're taking, you never knew that?
So why don't you want to talk about it?
Because it's not so, I didn't investigate it properly enough to see whether, you know, because the Shmir Shabbos says it's better not to, this is what he says. Better not to make ice, but if you really need it, then you could. So I don't know what to do with that. Oh, no, the automatic ice maker is a problem.
Why?
Well, it's not a problem. It's a problem, it's not a problem. If the ice is already made, for sure you can use it. If you take ice out of the automatic ice maker, the automatic ice makers are made in such a way that there's a handle, there's a lever,
yeah.
Right? And as soon as you take ice, the lever's going to go down, and you are facilitating the making of new ice. You're starting...
If you always keep the lever up before Shabbos...
Yes, that's what you do. Then perfectly... That's right. Then perfectly permitted. Absolutely.
You use all that ice in one day.
Right. Yeah. Perfectly permitted. Well, that's what he used to do. You have to pull it... Eddie, you have to pull it up all the way to turn it off. That's right. Basically all it does. Correct. Then it's fine. Then it's like any other ice. Then it's like any other ice that you made before Shabbos, which is permitted as well. Right. Okay.
Okay, so then what's different about... You said putting the chicken in gel. By putting it in the refrigerator, you are causing the liquid at the bottom of the chicken to gel, because as it cools, it gels.
So how are you allowed to put it in the fridge?
Way that you're putting, making ice by putting it in. No lie, you're creating something.
Good question. I have to ask it.
The chicken in?
No, you can put it in the fridge. You can put the chicken in for sure.
But it's changing the consistency of the sauce.
But you don't want it to change. You don't care if it changes.
Right. I think that the difference might be in that case that you're doing it. You don't want it to change. You're not doing it intentionally. That it's happening on its own. But I'm not going to answer you authoritatively. I'm going to make sure to find the answer for you by next week.
When you take it out and it melts, you're not doing it on purpose either.
Right. But again, it's only things that happen. happen on their own. And this is a chumrah on top of that we're being machmir for the day of the Ramah. So it's interesting, so in our case, I'll answer you, God willing, remind me, I'll look it up for next week, if everybody doesn't write it down. And so here, it's interesting, the Ramah, the Mishnah Berurah writes, the Chafetz Chaim writes, he says, since the Ramah wrote that thing about kugel, that you can't have the fat in the kugel, so therefore, here also, someone from the Ashkenazic custom also shouldn't do what? Shouldn't put things into a pot, shouldn't put snow into a pot to melt it. Why? Because that's the shita of the Ramah. Okay, there's only one problem with that. What's the problem? One interesting halakhic phenomenon here. Right? What's the problem? The problem is the Ramah did not write a gloss on this Seif on the Shulchan Aruch. You understand what I'm saying? I mean, the Ramah read this Seif, and where's his comment over here? He should say, Hagah, but we Ashkenazim don't do that. But he does not say that. So it's really unclear to what level the Ramah would say that. But the Mishnah Berurah writes, we Ashkenazim are careful not to intentionally melt ice into a pot. But what are you allowed to do? Let's just finish off. One second. See, I'm on the second line, the third line. It says Ve'eno, the fourth one in line. Ve'eno domeh. See where it says Ve'eno domeh? Ve'eno domer l'tocha kos. But he says, for sure you're allowed to melt stuff into a cup. When I take my ice and I put it in my soda, okay, I put it in my soup, my soda, my whatever, right, then since the ice is melting into another liquid, then you're not changing the form of the ice, you're not getting something new. That's not nola for sure. Then it just melts on its own and it's fine. Okay, you might have heard people sometimes wear machmir, do you put the ice in first or do you put the liquid in first? Anybody ever hear that?
Yes.
You have? It doesn't matter. Whatever, do whatever you want.
If you have hot soup,
yes,
you take a piece of ice to cool.
Excellent. Answer the question. Good. Answer the question. Can you put, based on what we've learned, I think you were here for that, can you put ice into hot soup?
I would say yes.
Yes. Why? First, you have to be careful. Depends when. For the reason that we said, remember, the ice melting into the soup is not nola because the liquid doesn't become nikar, doesn't become. You're not aware of it, right? Now, what about bishul? How would you avoid that being bishul? Cooking. What would it have to be in order so that it wouldn't be cooking? Very good. Kli sheni. It would have to be in a kli sheni. You could never put the ice into a pot of soup that was kind of came off the fire, into a kli rishon. But what, I've never seen anybody do that anyway. But in the bowl, we do this all the time. You have little kids, the soup is too hot, you put the ice into the bowl, it's perfectly permitted. Not from a nola problem and not from a bishul problem. But you have to know what the issues are to know that that is permitted. Or you could just know your mother did it and then you can do it. Okay. So interesting. So we don't, I mean, give me a break. Nobody really melts ice to get water anymore. We don't really do that, right? Nobody does that. Well, unless you're in the Boy Scouts or
desperate.
I got to be brutally honest with you. If you are in the middle of I don't know, like a blizzard, and you find a little shack and you need water because you're parched,
yeah, you can melt
the ice, right? Because remember, it's a chumrah based on the shita of the Ramah and Shin Yud Ches, and that's an Ashkenazic custom. But in the case of great need, one could certainly rely on the Rambam,
right.
And don't squeeze it. You're not allowed to squeeze it. Let it melt and then drink it. And then you have no problem. What?
Okay, it melts, it's very cold. You can put the snow in your mouth if you're so thirsty.
Correct. If you're so thirsty, eat the snow. Right. Eat the snow.
Or let it melt in your mouth.
Oh, I got to show you the last finish of the earth. Look at your gimel. What about walking on the snow? You'll say, hey, Rabbi, fine. How could I walk on the snow? I can't go to Shul on Shabbos because I'm very machmir for dash. And if I walk on the snow, it's going to squeeze out the water, and that would be a terrible thing.
Yeah,
become little. Right. Very machmir. It's a new chumrah of the month. You like that one, right? Right, okay. Hold on. So we said the Shul Chanor, your gimel, don't race sheleg biraglav. You're allowed to snatch the sheleg, the snow, with your feet. The eino chosesh. Don't worry. Look at your gimel. Why? The sheleg biraglav. The atim hasheleg nimoach v'zav ayudeza. Oh, even if it's going to melt and flow, leg lunba. Right? Not a big deal. Why? Kaven du eino mitkaven lezeh. It's a davar she eino mitkaven. And it's a davar she eino mitkaven under the rabbanon, which is l'chachil. Remember we learned that term last week, davar she'enu mitkaven, something you don't intend to do?
Mm-hmm.
You're not intending to squash the snow. What are you intending to do?
Walk the shul,
wherever. Not a problem.
Davar she'enu mitkaven.
Right, and also, but you'll say, hey, is it automatic that you're going to melt the snow? Nope. What if it was automatic that you'd melt the snow? What would it be called? Anybody remember? Remember? Well, we get to Devar She'en U'Mitzav, an unintentional thing that happens for sure. Unintentional thing that happens for sure is called a... remember
the,
very good. Psik Reisha. You cut off the chicken head. Remember? Psik Reisha. And that would not be permitted. According to our custom, Psik Reisha would not be permitted. But, thankfully, you all can walk to Shul on Shabbos, even in the snow. I just want to read you the last one, because it was an interesting machlokas that you find enjoyable. Yud Dalit. Haram Mi-Rutenberg, that's our mayor of Rutenberg, our mayor of Rothenburg, where Rothenburg was in Germany. Matir Lahatil Mei Ragwayin Bashelig. Okay, he permitted somebody to urinate in the snow. Harosh Hayah Nishar, and the Rosh did not permit someone to urinate in the snow. This is a machlokas that they had. Why? They didn't have a bathroom. You're going to walk all the way to the outhouse, you go, you know, like it's the middle of the night, you have to go. So can you urinate in the snow or not? And the answer is, it's a machlokas, based on between the Barami Rinrig and the Rush. And I would say, nowadays, don't urinate in the snow ever. You go to the bathroom, okay? Even if you have to, ask the rabbi.
Yeah, I know a troop who got disciplined for it and it wasn't shot.
What? I know a troop who got disciplined
for it and it wasn't shot. Well, on the side of the road? On the side of a building.
I would like to suggest, you know, the interesting halacha. The halacha says in the Shulchan Aruch, the halacha is that you can spit on the floor and rub it out. It's not usher to spit in the shul. Right? That's why the halacha was. You know why
that's the
thing. Right. It's not usher to spit. So, you know, somebody I know, I don't remember who it was, said that he once saw a guy spitting in shul.
Yeah,
on the carpet.
We had a guy.
So the guy walked to the guy and he said, "What are you doing?" So the guy says, "It's a mefurish halacha and a shulchan aruch. It's explicit. You're allowed to spit on the floor. You idiot. When there's a dirt floor, and then you can spit on the floor.
Disgusting.
Yeah, it's disgusting. Now you don't spit on the floor. You just are not allowed to. So even though I would argue, even though you could theoretically urinate in the snow, no, you can't. I'm sorry. Please don't. What? Is it illegal?
Yeah.
Cut off the people's dogs. It's not illegal.
I don't think the halacha applies to dogs.
Or the law? Okay. This is Shemir Shabbos Kel. You have the Hebrew and the English. Page 2. Mutar lahashir terach b'shabbos v'yom tov imamam meimav yelchul v'ibud. I may be melted on Shabbos v'yom tov if the liquid is going to go to loss. Meaning what? Kagon, for example, should notain gushay terach al gabe peirot kedei l'tzananam. Right? For example, food or bottles of drink may be cooled with ice. Or shazarka metoki yarmi, or ice may be disposed of in the kitchen sink. Meaning the problem is not melting it. Now let's say, for example, you happen to, I don't know, have somebody make you an ice flute so that when you serve drinks, you can pour the drinks on the flute and then the thing goes down. What? You like that thing? Did you like that thing? The vodka flute? What? Yeah, but it melts. Aren't you melting? So the answer is you're allowed to. It melts. Okay, it melts, but you're not doing it intentionally. Okay? The chayim mutar detained bet. What?
They're easier dropping alcohol and water.
Yeah.
You change the melting point. When you mix alcohol and water. Of the water.
Right, but again, the alcohol, I agree with you, but again, the water that you're melting off the surface of this huge ice flue, those of you who don't know what we're talking about, you'll have to come to our show when Billy Berlin makes the bar mitzvah. Right. Okay. You're still, no, the water that's melting off the ice becomes batel, is negligible vis-a-vis the vodka. So a person, when they get the vodka at the bottom, right, is drinking vodka and a tiny bit of water. It's not recognizable. So even though you're changing the melting point of the ice, it's only the ice that you've melted off. Okay? That's my scientific explanation.
It's not that becomes negligible.
Right, right. But of course, I would never make an ice smoothie because I wouldn't want to dilute my vodka. That's for the reason. Yes, yes. Okay.
Drink it straight up.
Have you ever seen one of those? You never seen one? Okay. Number 2. It is also permissible, this will be in English, it is also permissible to put ice cubes into a jug containing water or another drink so that they should cool the drink when they melt. This is allowed because the water produced by the melting ice is at no time recognizable as a separate entity. Okay, what you can do, though, what you shouldn't do is, let's say, for example, you have ice cubes and some people want to like let it melt a little bit and then drink the water. That you're not supposed to do, because again, Ashkenazic custom is not to let something melt, because that would be no lead. If it happens, you're probably, it's better not to drink the water, they say. If you left ice cubes in a cup, or ice cubes in your like ice thing, and they melt it, it's better not to drink that water, because that's water that's, you know, from NOLAD water, and we're machmir
for that.
What
if you add water, too?
What?
You suck on the ice.
Take the ice out and suck on it? Sure. Sure.
What if you add water into it?
No, then I would say no. No, then I would say no. Okay. Yeah, three, there you go. A, one should not place ice in an empty cup with the object of letting it melt and using the water, unless one would other... See, I write it. Unless one would otherwise be inconvenienced. Okay? See what he says? If one has broken the rule, then it is not forbidden to drink the resulting water used for any purpose, but it is advisable not to use it if one has other water. Right? It's better not to. Hamachmer, as we say... So now, what does that have real ramifications for us? I brought you a thing of frozen concentrated orange juice. Did anybody ever made this on Shabbos? No?
Shabbos, no.
Nobody? All right, forget it.
What? Everyone
uses Tropicana. When I grew up, we couldn't afford Tropicana. We used frozen concentrated
before.
Yeah,
Crystal
Light. Yeah, but that's not concentrated.
Yeah, but really it writes, by the way. He says you're allowed to, it's interesting, he says you're allowed to take something out of the freezer, like a milk jug or something, and let it get to room temperature. Allowing it to get to room temperature on its own is not actively melting it. What's prohibited is actively allowing, helping something melt, putting this near the stove so it would melt quicker.
But why isn't it NOLA?
Why isn't this NOLA?
The milk or anything.
It's happening on its own?
What?
It's happening on its own?
Correct. There's a problem. See the Rashi that have a kimolid? Rashi writes, if you look at the Rashi, look back on page one, Rashi writes that it's have a kimolid, the kimolid b'shabbos. Rashi doesn't say the problem is no lad as much as actively molid. Right? That language is correct, causative. Right? So therefore, if you can let it go and just leave it on its own, he says that's permitted, to leave it at room temperature. But what people do when they want to make closer concentrated orange juice...
How come this was number three? One should not place ice in an empty cup with the object of letting it melt.
And using the water.
You're not actively doing anything.
I have to look it up more carefully, but he says like if you have a jug of milk in the freezer, you're certainly allowed to let it melt and use it on Shabbos. That's what he says. So he said, if I would do, see, this already melted some, but when you want to make frozen concentrated orange juice, okay, your object is to make the juice, and you're very thirsty at the time. So normally what you're going to do is, you're going to do exactly what was prohibited, risuk. You're going to chop it up, right, for the purpose of melting it. See, am I chopping it up? Already melted it. So you're not allowed, one would not be permitted to do that on Shabbos. Okay, so there's a very easy solution. What could you do? You could either let it melt, or an even easier solution.
Add the water.
You could put it in water. Right. And then
you
let
have
it
to add water anyway.
Right, you have to add water anyway. Right, but what I just did makes it melt much faster.
Right?
It's already mixed in, then I can mix it in, but great. But if you put it in water and let it sit, then that's obviously permitted. But this is an example, a real life example of risuk. What I just did was risuk. Or, so somehow, let's say you went to a bar mitzvah that was by Paul Cohn. Right? So Paul Cohn's very fancy bar mitzvahs on Shabbos and now have a slurping machine. Okay, what do you do when you have a slurpee?
You're adding something to the ice.
When you, now you're eating your slurpee. What does a person have a slurpee do? What? No, not to drink it. Why do you stir it?
Because
it melts. You stir it to melt it.
Right.
That would be risuk. That really would be risuk. That's exactly the example of the car, taking snow and melting it in order to make it, to get the water out of it. That would be risuk. That's something that's in the Gemara. Now, was the Gemara, did the Gemara know that you had a Slurpee? No. But the Gemara said you're not allowed to take snow and melt it. You could drink it, certainly not drink the Slurpee. But what you do, what everybody does, after you drink out all the liquid, right, then you got to stir it to get more liquid. That's exactly what you do. What?
Because he serves it with a spoon. He doesn't serve it with a straw.
It's a spoon straw, isn't it?
No.
Well, in 7-Eleven, it's a spoon straw.
No,
right, in 7-Eleven, it's a spoon straw. All right, so just be aware.
Right.
Oh, it's a star, okay. But no, you can eat it, you just can't stir it.
It's mushy, yeah, probably.
I don't know.
There's not going to be an empty space where you're going to have to mix it.
There's no straw?
No, it's a spoon.
Oh, okay. There's no straw? He doesn't give a straw?
I don't think so, no. No.
You sure? I don't know. I don't remember. Yeah, I want to make sure there's no stress. Okay. Yeah, I want to go on to the other topics because they're very important and they're actually... So we learned about frozen concentrated orange juice and Slurpees. Very important halakha. Okay. Okay. Set a very interesting halakha. How much time do I have? What time is it?
5 minutes.
No way. Okay, let's skip. Time flies, you're having fun. Darn it, I have to do the toothbrush. And the hair. Okay? Let's say, for example, I want to, Mark Clinton wants to wash his face on Travis. Okay? So we learned that squeezing out. Right. We learned that squeezing out a liquid is forbidden. According to the Rambam, he said it's because of nilabim, cleaning. But according to most poskim, Ashkenazi poskim, why can't you squeeze out a liquid? Where's my napkin? Okay. Why can't I squeeze out a liquid? I can't squeeze a liquid out of a cloth. What is that? Shechita. Right. And we also learned that brushes, if they hold, things are also shechita. Right. So what about beards or hair? What about that? Good. Okay. That's it. So says the. It's interesting. Let's look for a second. Says the Rambam. See, look on page 3, source number 6. Hamechabes v'gadim, one who washes clothes. Harehu toledet melabim v'chayev. We're going to get to this later on. It's a tolda, a derivative of, or in source 3, page 3, source 6. It's a derivative of melabim. Melabim means whitening, cleaning, and v'chayev. That's a deoraita. Okay? So if you have like a cloth, for example, let's say you're sapping up, you have a spill, and you took a smata, and you had a cloth full of wine, and you squeezed it out, that would probably be malabim midoraita. Don't do that. That's a really bad idea. Okay. V'hasoche es habeged achiyotzi mayim shabo. So if you squeeze out a beged, a cloth, until the water comes out, hareja mechabesh v'chayev. Look at the Rambam says. You remember the Rambam always learns things sometimes, not always, often learns things differently. He learns it objectively. What do I think it is to squeeze out a cloth? So the Ashkenazi tradition was that it was dash. It was squeezing. It was like squeezing out a grapefruit. It was the same thing. Squeezing out a cloth, squeezing out a grapefruit. Rambam says, squeezing out a cloth is nothing like squeezing out a grapefruit. Right? So there, what is it? It's really cleaning. It's like washing. Shashchita mitzarche kibusu. Because shchita, squeezing, is one of the things you need to do in order to wash. Kamo shehahagasa mitzarche bishul. Just like stirring is one of the necessities of cooking. Says the Rambam, ve'ein shchita b'se'ar, and there's no squeezing, there's no halacha of shchita for hair. Okay, that's the line of the Rambam, ein shchita b'se'ar. Okay, so you would think, oh, okay, great, I could squeeze my hair out on Shabbos. Right? Says the Rambam, ein shchita b'se'ar, v'hu adin l'or she'ein chayav v'nal shchita so. Uh-oh, but look at the Magid Mishnah. The Magid Mishnah is a commentary on the Rambam. Siri says, zmanim ein shchita b'se'ar. Parag Mifanim, this is from Shabbos Kuf Chav Chet that I showed you but we didn't learn. It's at the top. You'll see a source number 5 that we didn't read. Rabba, Rabbi Yosef, Dami Trevai, they both said, Ein Shchita B'Seyar. Ad time. Umihu Isura Ika. So he says, when the Rambam says, Ein Shchita B'Seyar, what he really means is, it's not the Oraita. But Midrabana is still prohibited. So now, Mark, can you wash your beard on Shabbos? Can you squeeze out the hair from your beard on Shabbos?
No. Yeah.
Let's look at the Shulchan Aruch. Source 7. Mutar lirchot panav yana v'raglav. You can wash your hands, feet, and face. Bidvarim she'ein ha-mashirim se'ar. Only with things that don't pull out hair. U'ravi bidvarim ha-mashirim u'bavad sabayiyah harom devar ha-mashirim. So you can't have things that'll pull out hair. Like if you have a soap or an astringent that might pull out hair, you're not allowed to use it. So look at the Mishnah Berura. Lirchot panav raglav. Hainu. He says, Afilu yeshlo zakain. Even if you have a beard, you're allowed to wash your face. Vuhu adin sa'ar rosho. You can even wash your hair of your head. Ach shelo yischatem achar rechitzato. But once you wash it, what can't you do? Squeeze it out. So yeah, you can wash your face, but you can't squeeze out the hair. So it says, we paskin, that there is a possibility of shchita b'se'ar. It's possible to squeeze out your hair. So don't do that. Right? You're not allowed to do it. So how would you, I don't know, dry your face in the morning when you wash it? What? You can air dry it is the best way. You can tap it, but don't push it. Don't squeeze it out. Right? You're allowed to, I would say you could dab it, but you couldn't squeeze it out. You should be careful not to squeeze it out. And actually, this comes up sometimes. The time it will come up most often is when a woman has to go to the mikvah on Friday night. Because then her hair really gets wet. And the Shmir Shabbos writes, you don't have time to go into it. On the other side, you can rub your wet hair in order to ease pain and discomfort, but you should not squeeze out your hair otherwise than in the process of dry. You can't squeeze out your hair. What you can do is certainly wrap it in a towel. Right? He writes, and pat it dry. That you're certainly allowed to do. Okay? So let's look at source 9, page 4, source 9. One whose hair becomes wet may not squeeze it to extract the water on Shabbos because this resembles Mathari. Now, if you're a gentleman like me with no hair whatsoever, I don't have this problem at all. That was a joke. Okay. One may likewise not shampoo one's hair because the lathering acts as Mathari. Okay? Now, on Yom Tov, let's say you have a three-day Yom Tov, there are ways in which one can take a shower, but you're not allowed to lather up the hair. So how would you want to wash? If you wanted to get your hair somewhat clean, what would you do? What? I just squeeze it in, rinse it out, and it does wonders, at least for men it does. For women, probably wouldn't do squat, but for men it does the job. That's fine. Okay. However, there's nothing wrong with wetting one's hair as long as he's careful not to squeeze it. Nothing wrong. One, drying one's hair in Shabbos. One should not vigorously shake one's head to force out the water because the action is a form of schita. Remember we saw in the Mishnah Berurah. However, one may dry one's hair by tightly wrapping a towel on the hair to absorb the wetness. Okay? Like we said, you wrap a towel. That's the way women cover their hair. You know, if they're especially, I don't know what you do, because my understanding is women's hair stays wet for a long, long time. And in the wintertime, it's like, it's freezing. So how do you, I don't know how you walk home. It's like crazy. So that's right. What? Two hats? Yeah, so you got to, you know who else has a problem? It's interesting. Lubavitch guys, right, and the mikvah. Those Lubavitch guys have really big beards, and then they go to the mikvah on Shabbos morning, and then they have to go from the mikvah over to the JCC. So I met a guy once, he said, like, yeah, there's nothing you can do, it's just like icicles when you get to the beard.
It's beard.
Yes, you seen them walk with towels? Only the wimpy ones, the hardy men, they walk out with the, you know. What? Oh, would it be carrying all that water? I don't know. Okay. I promised I'd talk about toothbrush eye.
That's making an ice cube.
What?
That's making an ice cube.
Making an ice cube, right. Okay, if you look, this is Ibris Moshe. I can't read you the whole. Let's read it for a second. Binakot Shinayim B'Shabbos V'Yom Tov. To clean your teeth for Shabbos V'Yom Tov. We're just going to touch on it. B'Davar Linakot Shinayim B'Shabbos V'Yom Tov Im Toothpaste. See, there are Moshe right? Toothpaste. Parshut Sh'Asher Shehu Memachik. Memachik means smearing out. Memachik, that's the type of smearing. You're not allowed, he's for sure not allowed with regular toothpaste. That's for sure. Uvelot Toothpaste. What about not toothpaste? The habrush hamayuchal bazeh, with the brush, mutter. You know, can I take a dry toothbrush and brush my teeth? Why not? Kama v'chitzat sh'ar eber. Okay, about yishtof rak betzonim, but even in, you should only rinse with, when it's betzonim, cool, not hot. That's habrush, tov lelach l'shalo lelach lech v'mayim. It's better not to even get it wet. Kodim nikoy, why? Mishchash shchita b'seyar. Because of schita b'seyar, squeezing out hair. So now what do you do with that? How do you, remember we talked last week about the brushes.
Hair removal bristles?
Bristles, the bristles too, right. We talked about the brushes, the different brushes, and when is the brush good and when is it not. Remember the brush we saw last week, it did not hold water at all. Okay? So now what do you do about your toothbrush? Okay, so I brought in two different toothbrushes. This is Bezalel's. Right? We did, actually. Okay? Which made me bring this one. And these are great, by the way. I recommend them highly, even for adults. They're like, so cheap now. Okay? And this is mine. This is already, you can see, starting to become partially used. Okay? You see in the bottom how the bristles are really, they're still divided, separated together. Now look at the stylus. Okay? He uses it so much. See how it's all become, what?
Because they bite it.
No, well, it's not just because they bite it. The more you use the toothbrush, right, the more water it becomes, and the more it, so if you look at mine, let's see what happens when I take the water. Okay, does any water stay?
Yeah.
Oh, a little bit, right. Yes, sort of. And this one especially. Right, what happens? See that?
Oh, yeah.
Right, a lot of water stays in. So you have to be honest with yourself and say, you know, so I would, you know, I spoke to somebody today and I said, how do you know? So you have to use that test. So this one already is already starting to hold water, I would say. You can even see it. The brush last week was not starting to hold water. So maybe if you insist on brushing your teeth, it might be a good idea to get a very firm, you can buy probably the cheapest toothbrushes, a very firm, you know, with them far apart, with the bristles far apart, and you use it, as long as you use it until you're honest enough to know, you know, when is the bristles holding the water and when are they not. Because this one for sure already is holding water and they go flying. Okay?
Yeah,
you can see that.
Can you use a liquid toothpaste?
Yeah, if you can use the toothbrush, right. You can use the toothpaste. The liquid toothpaste you can use.
It's not the cream type or the one that you have to squeeze up.
Correct.
It's
right. That's what he said. He said, but a liquid toothpaste would be okay as long as you don't have the problem of shchita. But if you would have a problem of shchita, then it's something you should avoid. So you have to be careful. So is brushing teeth permitted or not? With a regular toothbrush, toothpaste, no. With liquid, it depends on the toothbrush. It really depends. And a person has to be honest with themselves and know when it would be permitted and when it would not. But at least you know, it's not, when people say, oh, you can't brush your teeth on Shabbos. It's not hocus pocus. It all comes from the idea of dash. It comes from the idea of squeezing. And then you have to judge in the real world, does this halacha apply or does it not? Okay, have a good week.
Thank you.